wasn't that fantastic? Let's give another big hand for our Mandarin dance team. Yeah. They did a great, great job. You know, we're one church represented by many nations, which is really a reflection of our city, our beautiful city. So I thought today I would have worn my kilt. Maybe next year, right? I got a plan for that. The weather's off today, so welcome to our Taste of the Nation Sunday as we kick off another exciting season of ministry here at Calvary and launch into the fall. Today's also episode 2 of our new launch series. And I don't know if you know or not, but today is also Grandparents Day. Did you know that? So today we want to honor and bless all our grandparents. If you're here today and you're a grandparent, would you be kind enough just to stand to your feet for a moment? Just stand up all over the auditorium. Yeah, yeah, stand up. Let's give them all a big hand. Woo! Yes, we salute you today. Hallelujah. You know, I've said before that we are a multicultural church, but we're also a multi-generational church. And so it excites me that young and old worship God and serve together. And so today we speak a special blessing on all of you. Let's just take a minute and pray. Father, we thank you today for our church family. We thank you that we are indeed multi-generational. And in that, Lord, is the wisdom of those that have gone on before us, that are our seniors, and those that are full of energy and our students, Lord. And so with the balance of both, God, we move ahead together in this vision, in this mission that you've called us to. And today we speak a special blessing on our grandparents. We honor them. We bless them today. We thank you for their example and for what they've done to pave and prepare the way for all of us to do everything that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, September is it's a busy time. It's that time of the year that we kind of navigate our re-entry into a world of busy schedules and routine that maybe we've been off a little bit over the summer months. And for many people, that can be quite challenging. And so we prayerfully designed this series called Launch to create an atmosphere of mission discovery so that in the midst of the busyness, that you can also explore the opportunities that God has for you and your family in the kingdom, and also right here at home on Team Calvary. And so we're excited about what he's going to do. And I truly believe that when we walk in his ordered steps, when the Holy Spirit guides us, that he will ensure the success of the mission that he's called us to, whether that's in your personal life or whether that's in the life of our church family. You know, back in the Old Testament, when Abraham took his servant, a servant who is the head of his household, someone who he greatly trusted, and he gave him a mission, and he said, I'm sending you out to accomplish this on behalf of his son. Now, the servant, he recognized through Abraham's example that the success of his mission was wholly dependent upon his trust in God, and that he needed to start everything with that commitment to God to say, I need your blessing on this mission or it won't be a success. And in Genesis 24:42, we see his words, and those words really reflect my heart as your pastor and this church to believe for what we're called to do. It says, so today when I came to the spring, I prayed this prayer. Oh God, God of my master Abraham, please give me success on this mission. You know, our success is not going to just be the result of a can-do spirit and hard work, as some people sometimes think it is. The truth is, the success of our mission as a church family, the success of your mission in life, your family, your marriage, is wholly dependent upon your trust in God, your trust in his ability, not your own, to accomplish everything that he's called you to. I want to give a big hello to all of you that may be visiting with us today for the first time, both here in the house and maybe online. We're so glad that you've joined us. My name is Steve. I'm the lead pastor here at the church. And there's always room at our table, we say, for more people, that our family keeps growing and getting bigger and bigger. So we welcome you. And I want to personally invite you. You've heard a little bit about it today, but today is Taste of the Nation Sunday. And rain or shine, we got a little bit of mist out there, but we got tents, and some of it will be indoors and outdoors. But we've got all kinds of tasty treats for you to get a little taste of the nations to celebrate the multicultural flavor that is Calvary Church. And so I want to invite you to join us after this service in the parking lot. Come up and say hello. Introduce yourself if we've never met. I'd love to meet you. Susan and I will be there with our leaders. And just take some time to meet some new people, some new potential friends in your life. There'll be a bouncer for the kids and some fun for them too. But this is a great opportunity for our church family to kick off the fall the right way. I was the other night watching the weather and getting ready for today. And, you know, on some nights you can see the sky more clearly than others. And depending on where you are in a city or out in the country, have you ever noticed when you get further out into the country, it's like, holy smokes, look at the sky. It's beautiful. You can see stars forever. But since the beginning of time, people have been staring into the night sky, counting those stars and kind of considering the vastness of the universe, thinking and dreaming beyond the world that sometimes we're caught up in. I think I remember as a kid laying in the grass, right, in the middle of the summertime. You remember going camping with your family or just hanging out with your friends in your neighborhood, and in the middle of a summer night, you lay in the grass and you just stare up and you stare at all those stars and you're waiting for like a shooting star, or you're trying to track the satellite as it goes across the night sky. But people have always, whether they're young or old, have been looking up, looking beyond the routine, looking beyond the things that we face on a daily basis, wondering what our purpose is in this world that God has placed us in. Things like traveling into space and walking on the moon or exploring the unknown of the universe seemed like an impossibility for a very long period of time. Until one day someone had the vision and the ingenuity to make that dream, that vision, a reality, right? Who would have ever thought that it was even possible? But if you look at the history of the space program, the first rockets that were ever created were really weapons, right? It was riding to space on the tip of a missile, basically. And the innovation back then was really driven by fear, by war and paranoia. People wanted a corner on the market. They thought if we're going to keep our place safe, then we need to have control not only by ground and sea, but up in space. And so they began to plan based on some of this thinking. But when the Apollo astronauts stood on the moon and they turned around and looked at Earth, something happened. Something changed within them. Suddenly their vision of what could be switched. You see, from there, the borders and wars and the violence that we all know, they seem to disappear. It changed for people on Earth. Some of you remember, you know, families gathering around television sets to watch the moon landing. And so it changed for people at home too, as suddenly they realized that the impossible was happening right before their eyes. And so people's idea of what could be began to change. Then we decided that going to space didn't have to be about fear. It could be about something else. So that's when the space shuttle Discovery was built. You remember the first shuttle? I had a little model of it when I was a kid at home in my room. And I would just imagine what it would be like to be on that thing. But Discovery was more than the name of this space shuttle. It represented the spirit behind it. It represented mankind's quest to discover new worlds, to break from the Earth and to venture out to see more. And see, for us, for our time here on Earth, sometimes we get a little trapped into the things that we think are an impossibility, and we never look beyond it. Now, for the first time, our astronauts were not only soldiers, but they were teachers and scientists. They were different types of people. And instead of war machines, we launched telescopes that could see to the edge of the universe. We push a button here on Earth, and boom, on Mars, we do work. Things happen. As a matter of fact, right now, at this very moment, a shiny red roadster is orbiting the solar system with a dummy in it called Starman, as Elon Musk sends up a brand new Tesla, you know, to be the heavy payload on his rocket that he sent up there. And when they asked him why, he said, "Why not? We can, so we do." Because let's face it, we're trying to push the boundaries of what we're able to do. You could log on to the computer and see where he was floating through space, this incredible feat that nobody ever thought would be possible. But some people still say, well, why do you send humans to space? It's such a risk. Why not just send robots? Well, the truth is that when people go to space, they also come home. And when they come home, they're welcomed home as heroes, as the earth and all the people in it are inspired that the vision that someone had has now become a reality. And we feel inspired in our hearts because we're wired for possibility, whether we know it or not. We're wired with God's DNA. When God said, let us make man and let us make him in our image, he was making you and I with the potential to dream and to envision the things that could be. Man would never have stepped onto the moon unless God gave him the ingenuity and the brains and the imagination to dream that it could be done. NASA says that by 2030, there's the potential for sending people to Mars. The whole private sector of space travel is becoming actually something within our reach. Can you imagine going onto Expedia and instead of booking a ticket to Florida this year for a vacation, you say, hey, well, let's go to Mars, right? It costs a little bit more, but let's give it a whirl. I'll tell you what, if it was proven and people had come and go back, I would love to give that a whirl. You see, now a whole new generation will be exposed to greater opportunity and will come home inspired to do bigger things. And I've been in museums that have, you've seen the old spacecraft that's been retired now, that's a relic. Even Discovery, the shuttle, is now in a museum that you can go and see, out of active service. But wouldn't it be great if some of these museums didn't just house old spacecraft, but it was also a testimony to the men and women, the heroes of space travel, that would inspire a whole other generation of dreamers to do big things, to step out. Every time Bob Cave comes, and he'll be here in a couple weeks, our missionary to Europe and the Middle East, we dream together about the next generation of young men and women that will step into the shoes that he's worn for so long to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And you know what? I think for years, people have looked at the mission of the church like it was the mission to Mars, like it's so complicated, where it's best left to the professionals. Let's just leave the work of the church to the apostles, to the prophets, to the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. That sounds biblical, right? Well, it is. Half of it is. Because some people think that that's where it stops. Some people think that the people that do the work of the ministry are those paid professionals. That's what they do vocationally. But that's not exactly what the scripture says. Ephesians 4, 11 to 12 says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. That's true. Those are gifts given by God to the church. But for what? To do the work that God has called us to do in the earth? Well, the scripture goes on to say that their responsibility goes beyond actually the actual work of the ministry. The Bible says in verse 12 that their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build the church, to build the body of Christ. So all of us are called to be ministers. Maybe not vocationally, maybe you don't have a clerical collar that you wear when you go to work on a Monday morning. But each of you has the opportunity to impact your generation at work, at school, in your neighborhood, to be an active agent of change, to believe God that he would use you to help transform people's lives, to see those lost in sin, those lost in darkness, be forgiven and brought into the light, to be given the same opportunity that you and I have been given. You know, this time last year, Susan and I were on our way to the Ukraine and stopped in Paris on the way. And so I said, well, let's spend a couple days here. I've never been to Paris. I want to look around. And so I love architecture. I love history and photography. So I was taking pictures left, right, and center. We got to the Cathedral of Notre Dame, and it was unbelievable. I mean, majestic. You've seen pictures. Some of you have actually been there. But when you go in, you look at the architecture, you look at the craftsmanship and the people that had a vision at one point, to see this in their mind, to sketch it on paper, and then to make it a reality. They say that generations of families were involved in building some of these incredible cathedrals. Some generations that never saw it completely done, that those who started passed the torch on to the next generation to finish the work. But as amazing as it was, as I looked around, it was also sad to me. Because now this beautiful cathedral, this house of God that somebody had a vision for, to see people reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ, was now not a church at all. It was a museum with a gift shop. And I'm like, oh, God, help us. You know, help us so that the modern day church doesn't become empty with dust blowing down the aisles and souvenirs being sold in the foyer. May our church, may the church of Jesus Christ not be filled with just retired saints with memories of what God did in a day long gone by, but may our church be filled with doers and dreamers and biblical heroes that are living today on the earth and influencing people in Jesus' name. May we raise up a generation that is filled with faith to believe for the impossible, that will not be deterred when it comes to taking this good news to a world who desperately needs it. May it be filled with heroes so that when new generations come, they have someone to look to. They have you to look to say that when I grow older and do what I do for God, I want to be like that person. That's why I love the generations within our church. We've got energy and enthusiasm of our students, but we've got the wisdom of our seniors who have worked and prayed and believed for this day. Many of you have been praying for revival, and I'll tell you what, it's happening. It's happening all around us right now. It's happening every time somebody puts up their hand and gives their heart to the Lord. It's happening every time someone gets connected to a small group and grows in their faith. Every time someone serves and uses their gift, that revival is happening. The impossible is being made possible. You know, I believe that God has wired us to respond in a certain way when people say, you can't do that. It's impossible. I believe God has wired us in such a way that we look back at them and we say, why not? Why not? Why not believe God in the face of what people say cannot be done? People will say to me, and I've heard it said before, you can't change a city. You can't influence a nation in the name of Christ. People feel that those beliefs are out of date. It's impossible. I say, why not? Why not believe? You can't expect people of all different nations of the world to get along with one another, to in unity accomplish a great task or a cause. It's impossible. I say, why not? Why not? You know, people are so busy these days. Pastor Vince, it's impossible to get people to serve on a team, to use their gift, to do what they need to do. It's impossible. Why even bother to do that? It's just pointless. I say, why not? Why not believe? Oh, Pastor Steve, people are so busy. They're not going to go to a small group. They got more things to go to than they got days in the week. They're not going to connect with other people and care for one another. I say, why not? Why not believe God in the face of a generation that says it cannot be done? Here's what Jesus said about all of those things. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said this, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Why not believe? You know, Commander Chris Hadfield is Canada's most famous astronaut. This is a man who understands that impossible things can happen. At the age of 9, Chris Hadfield knew that someday he wanted to go to space. Do you know what? He didn't just get a chance to go to space once. He went twice. He went 3 different times to space. As a matter of fact, he went on to be one of the commanders of the International Space Station. This is a man who knew how to say, why not? So it's safe to say that this man knows a little bit about the significance of the launch process. As a matter of fact, this was his words. He says, as an astronaut, especially during launch, half the risk of a 6-month flight is in the first 9 minutes. That's a powerful statement right there, you see, because between mission prep and the mission itself is the launch. And in that moment, all of the work that's been put into preparation, all of the people that have put years getting ready and laying these plans can be wasted in a moment if you cannot get that thing up off the ground. Did you know that the preparation process, even for an astronaut, is similar to you and I in our walk with Christ and how we grow as a disciple? Sometimes we're going to face some solitary moments, right? Like, it's wonderful on a day like this when we can stand in an auditorium filled with people and worship God and feel the corporate energy that comes with that. But we also know that there will be a time later tonight where you're laying in your bed all by yourself, staring up at the ceiling with your mind whirling, trying to figure out how you're going to do this and accomplish that and what's going to happen with this and that. So you're going to face some solitary moments. As a matter of fact, even once you get launched into your mission, like these astronauts do, there's going to be some solitary moments there too. You know, some of those guys are in space for months, some of them by themselves. Like, it's hard to even imagine. So in the mission prep and the mission itself, you will experience some solitary moments. But let me tell you about the launch. The launch is not a solitary moment. The launch is literally hundreds, even thousands of people that are working in one accord on one day to ensure that this launch is a success. People that are very different, gifted differently, educated differently, from all different walks of life, from different cultures, all of them working together. That sounds like something, right? That sounds like the church to me, that you and I, when we bring all of our experience, all our education together, that God wants to use the church as a launching pad so that we can launch people into the potential that God has for them. Launching your family into the vision and the purpose that he has for your life. You see, church is not about going to a place and getting something. Church and community is all about giving of yourself. And as you give, you grow. That's part of that discipleship process. But listen to me, growth is not an automatic thing. It doesn't just happen. Whether it's church growth or personal growth, growth always springs from a healthy place, from an intentional place, from a prayerful place, a place that's rooted in complete trust in who God is and his eternal ability to love and reach the lost. You see, every dream we launch is rooted in this mission. Every dreamer we launch is rooted in the same. Loving God, loving people. You see, loving God means loving what matters most to him. So what do you think matters most to God? What do you think it is? I remember my first year of Bible school, my professor got up and he said, if you could hear the heartbeat of God, it would be souls, 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 souls. What do you think matters the most for God? It's the lost. It's the unchurched. It's why we do what we do. The vehicle may change, but the message will forever be the same. And loving God means loving what matters most to him. And that is those people. And that loving God is really an influencing factor on the way that we live every single day of our lives. And then leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And if you're a fully devoted follower of Christ, then you will be fully devoted to his mission of reaching the lost at whatever cost. And let me tell you, there is a cost. God the Father understood the great cost that came with reaching you and me. He sent what he valued most. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to lay down his life, to shed his blood, to give his life so that you could pick yours up and live it. God knew all about sacrifice. He knew what that meant. Craig Rochelle once said, churches don't drift towards growth. They drift towards complacency and decline. If you are not intentionally preparing for growth, you are unintentionally preparing for decline. You see, as we launch into this new season of ministry, I can boldly say to you that our church vision, our systems, our staff, our ministry team leaders, our small group leaders, our volunteers, we as a church are intentionally preparing for growth. See, the same is true in our own lives. Are you preparing for growth in your personal life? Because the same applies. You're not going to automatically drift towards growth in your life. You'll actually drift, as we just said, towards complacency and decline. So if you're not intentionally preparing for growth in your own life, if you're not using the time that you've been given to serve and to minister to others, then you're unintentionally preparing for decline in your life. You know what? People say, well, why don't you just want to live your own life and keep things to yourself? Why don't you just want to focus on living a successful life for you? God hasn't called you into this world, nor has he shaped you for just yourself. We don't want to just create you for mission or prepare you for that mission. We want to be a launch pad for hundreds and thousands of people from every single walk of life in every age group to blast off into the reality of the vision that God has placed deep within your heart, that inside you know in your own strength, you'll never be able to accomplish it on your own. And you know what? Successfully launching into the mission that he's given us moves us one step closer to accomplishing what he's called us to do. And how we finish is far more important than how we begin. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says just that. It says finishing is better than starting. It's how you cross the line. And how we cross the line is all about what we're doing now. You see, in order to finish well, you need to live well. And living well means you never give up. It means you're relentless. And to be relentless means having an attitude or a posture that is resolute. It's persistent. It's unyielding. And the relentless Christ follower is absolutely steadfast in three things: in faith and hope, and in their obedience to God, no matter what they face, no matter how difficult it seems. You see, when we choose to never give up, our example, whether we know it, inspires other people, the next generation, to also live their lives well. There'll be days in your life when pull out your mobile phone, you're going through maybe the toughest time of your life, and you're trying to call the pastor, and he's not picking up. You try to call your small group leader, and they're not picking up. You try to call your best friend, and it's busy. There's nobody available. What are you going to do? See, the heart of God is that you would grow in your faith. That yes, you will draw from the strength of the people that are around you, but there is a time in your life when you need to encourage yourself in the Word of God. You need to go to the source that encourages us all, that has been given to you with good reason. And the prayer that you could pray is right here in Hebrews 12, verses 12 to 13 and verse 15. It says, lift up your tired hands. That means when we get weak and when we get worn out, this is a good prayer to pray on a Friday afternoon. Lift up your tired hands. Strengthen your trembling knees. That means there's going to be times when you feel fear. Maybe you have to step out and you have to do something that is beyond your ability, and you feel tired, you feel weak, you feel fearful. The Bible says, keep walking on a straight path. Guard against turning back from the grace and the vision of God. You see, God has specifically designed a trajectory for your life. And every step that you take, every step you move forward, even if it comes with a few bumps and bruises along the way, is still progress. Sometimes we give ourselves a hard time because we think, well, I haven't come as far as I would like in the last 6 months or the last year. Just remember that every time you take a step forward, every time you move ahead in God, you are making progress. And relentless believers are the ones who see the impossible made possible. And I'll tell you what, doing this, walking in this kind of life, is understanding that you need to always be looking beyond our own human ability and trusting God's eternal strength and his grace. Because in and of ourselves, we will stop right back there in the scripture where we're tired and weak, where we're trembling. But God, with his strength within us, will empower us to stand up again, to get up off the mat, to encourage ourselves in Christ, and to say it can be done. And Jesus said to overcome, you have to do something very important first. He said, if you want to overcome, you must first do what? Believe. You must believe. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe. Circle that word, underline it, highlight it, if. If you can believe, then all things are possible to him who believes. So why not believe? Why not? Why not believe? Choose to trust him. God is for you, and no one wants your success more than he does. Can you believe what he says? My prayer is that you can. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray this morning? Today, as I've shared these words, there's some of you in here at all different stages of your life and walk with God. Some of you are at the beginning. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for many years. Some of you are hearing it for the first time and are wondering, how can I walk in success? How can I know that I'm doing what I've been purposed to do? I'm going to tell you right now that it's aligning yourself with the one who's created you. God sent his son, Jesus, into this world to forgive you of your sin. And sin is the junk that blocks our communication with God. And by giving his life, by laying it down, he took your place. He paid that price for sin. By giving his life, you can pick up yours when you say yes to following him. And when you follow him, the impossible things become possible. And you begin to choose to believe, not in your own ability, but in his ability to transform your life and to transform the lives of the people around you. So while your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to ask something of you. Whether you're watching online this morning or whether you're here in the house, all across this auditorium, if you would say to me, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer. I need to know Jesus personally. I need to align myself with him. Or maybe you said, I made that commitment years ago, but I feel like I've strayed. I got off track. I got busy, I got distracted, and I just feel like I've lost my way. Well, today is the day that you can come back. Start this fall off on the right foot. Launch yourself through God's power into everything he has purposed for your life. Today, as your head is bowed, your eyes are closed all over this auditorium. Again, and I always say this, I'm not here to embarrass you or to call you out, but I am here to offer you life and life abundant. It's why I do and we do what we do. It's everything about the calling that's upon my life. If that's you today, all over this auditorium and even at home, I want you to shoot your hand up high in the air so I can see it, so that you can say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I need Jesus at the center of my life. All over this auditorium, wherever you are. Yes, thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you. I don't want to rush this. I never do. Yeah, right here, young man. Ma'am, at the back. Yes, thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Over here? Yeah, down in the front, down in the middle. Yes, that hand in the back. Anybody else? He can transform you. He can take you from the things that sometimes frustrate you, the addictions you struggle with, and he can break those things in your life. And he can become the center so that you could prosper in all that you put your hand to do. Anybody else? Yeah, at the back, I see you. Thank you. Yeah, down here. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Now, as your head is bowed, yeah, back here. I see you. Thank you. Thank you, young man. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And Calvary, I'm going to ask you in unity to pray this out loud with those that are praying it for the first time. To let them know that we're their team, we're their crew, we're standing with them today, and we're going to pray this together. A simple prayer. But it's acknowledging who he is in your life. Pray this with me, would you? Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've done for me. That you've died on a cross. That you paid a price for my sin. And that I am forgiven. I ask you to come into my heart. To be my Lord. To be my Savior. To put me on the course you've called me to. And help me to take this truth and share it with everyone I know. Help me to grow in my faith and to share the same good news with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, Calvary. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Amen. And a hand to all of you who had the courage to pray that prayer. Now, I say this all the time, that what comes next is equally important to the prayer you just prayed. It's essential that you now grow in your faith. And part of that process of growing in your faith is being a part of a local church, this launch pad to fulfilling the dreams God has called you to. There's three ways to connect here at Calvary. It's finding a ministry team and using your gifts to serve on it. It's connecting to a small group of people who are living life and heading in the same direction as you are. And it's taking a class, a good class like our Starting Point class, every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock to learn more about your faith and how to grow and how to connect and how to be a part of what God has called us to, what the vision of this house is all about. All of those things have been designed to help you grow. So before you leave today, take that card that's in the seat pocket in front of you, fill it out, please, and let us know about the decision you made today. We want to celebrate with you. We want to send you some resources to help you grow in your faith. And then give it to one of our ushers or drop it at the Welcome Center, and we would love to just be praying for you and to bless you. Now today, as our service finishes, after we're done worshiping the Lord and when it comes to a close, I want to invite you to join us for a Taste of the Nations. Come and connect with other people here at Calvary, with our family, and discover that there's some people here that maybe God has put in your life for a great reason, to help you on your course that he's called you to. Some of the best friends you've ever had are right here in this room right now, and you've never even met them yet. But if you slow down long enough to shake some hands and introduce yourself, you may discover just that. So God bless you. We love you. Next week, next Sunday, is going to be a great day for those of you that want to get involved on a ministry team, be a part of a small group. Next weekend is our ministry and small group fair. And so you're going to have an opportunity to meet some of our leaders and small group leaders and to become a part of this vision, this exciting thing that God has called us to here at Calvary. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. I love how God uses him to equip us. He's given us a lot this morning, powerful. So this morning, as the prayer team comes forward and we all stand to continue to worship, God gave a trajectory to Jesus, to Moses, to Abraham, to Joshua, a trajectory that was fearful for them. The plan that he had for them, they were fearful, they were sorrowful. We can connect with that. Whatever God has planned for each one of us, whether it's a new school year, new teachers, or teachers with new students, new ministries, jobs, finances, whatever it is, whatever's keeping you back from launching out, God wants to use you. He can use every one of us, wherever we are, in the lineup at Costco, whatever it is. Come and pray with somebody up front to give you that boldness, that courage, that hope that only God can give you to have that success in whatever ministry and whatever he has for you. We only have that success when we wholly depend and trust in God.